Judges chapter 14, and we'll begin looking at verses 1 through verse 3. We're actually going to be going all the way, okay, to chapter 16, but we're going to start in Judges chapter 14. Now, many of you, when you look at Judges chapter 14, you see at the title, some of you have at the title of your chapter, it's talking about Samson. And when I think about growing up in junior church and Sunday school and hearing the different stories, I'd have to say that one of the most intriguing people that I ever heard about and enjoyed hearing about was Samson. And I think a lot of boys enjoy hearing about Samson because here you have this man, he's strong, he does all these great things. But what I want to talk to you about today is, and I entitled this message, Samson's Downfall by Decisions, From Hero to Zero. Because we think about the life of Samson. I'm going to go back and tell you a little bit of chronology about how we get to where we are in Judges chapter 14. But we have to think about this man, Samson. Because after all, we know that his father, Manoah, his mother is not mentioned by name, but she was barren. She could not produce a child. And like every man and every woman, they pray to have a child that they can call their own. And that was where Manoah and his wife were. And the angel of the Lord appears to Manoah's wife, tells her that she's going to have a child. Then he appears to Manoah, tells Manoah that he's going to have a child, a son. And the angel of the Lord appears to them. They offer an offering to them, to the angel of the Lord, to praise him for what he's told them. And they go through all these different things, and the angel of the Lord appears to Manoah and his wife to simply tell them that he's going to give them a son that's going to help them get under the power of the Philistines, to get away from that. Samson was a promised child given to do something for God. And we all know the end of the story of Samson's life. But many of us, and I've even asked this question as I was studying this passage of Scripture, how did Samson get from the point of his life where he had God's hand on him to the end of his life where we know he dies with the Philistines and his life is in it? How did Samson, with all this potential, waste it away? How did he do that? Because the story has been repeated centuries and thousands of years of people with much potential but have wasted and amounted to nothing and done nothing for God. How does that happen? I'll tell you how that happens. It happens by one word, decisions. See, every single one of us make decisions in our lives. Sometimes we forget about how the decisions impact the course of our lives. Every single one of you made decisions this morning. You decided when to set your alarm clock, what time to get up, when to take a shower, when to shave, what you were going to wear this morning, what time you were going to get to church, what pew you were going to sit in, if you were going to sing the songs, if you weren't going to sing the songs, if you were going to give it to the offering this morning, if you chose not to give to the offering this morning, if you chose to shake hands with someone, if you chose not to shake hands with someone, you look at all the decisions that you've already made and they've already impacted you in the fact that you're sitting here this morning listening to me. You've probably made a decision already. I'm going to listen to Pastor Pereira. I'm not going to listen to Pastor Pereira. You've already made that decision already. So what we need to... Yes. I need to turn this on. Okay. See, I tell you what, Pastor's already rubbing off on me. See, I made a decision not to turn on the microphone. We all struggle and are faced with decisions. But here's the problem. We think that the decisions we make don't matter to the course of life that we have. What makes a person at the end of his life look back on his or her life and say, you know what, I've done my best for the Lord. I have no regrets. You know how it's happened? By the decisions that he or she has made in their life. What makes a person at the end of his life look back with regret and remorse and think, what have I done with my life? I've wasted it. How has that happened? By the decisions that he or she has made. And that's how we have a man, Samson, who was gifted and blessed by God with a tremendous amount of strength to lead Israel out of the captivity of the Philistines. And what did he do? He decided to waste that potential by the decisions that he made. You know, a lot of us like to debate about Samson, whether or not he was some huge muscular man that everybody saw and all the women of Israel saw and their just hearts just melted, like we have of the mythology of Hercules. Was he some type of Hercules figure that just walked around and he had bulging muscles everywhere he went? Was he just this hump that everybody, that all the women wanted, hopefully that he would marry them? You know, I don't believe so. I believe that he looked just like everybody else. You know why? Because that was the wonder and the awe of where Samson got his strength. Because if he was this muscle-bound person walking around, nobody would really wonder where he got his strength from. It wouldn't have been a mystery to the Philistines about how strong this man was. I don't believe God would have made Samson that way, because God wanted people to look at Samson and say, how is he that strong? Because the hand of the Lord is on Samson. So we kind of need to remember that as well. The Scripture doesn't tell us what he looks like. But we kind of just take a little bit of logic and common sense and we kind of apply that. But let's look at Judges 14, 1-3 and see Samson's downfall by decisions. How did Samson go from hero to zero? And I want you to think about in your life the impact of the decisions that you and I make. The decisions of how we're going to raise our families. The decisions of what we're going to allow to go in our house. The decisions of the standards that we're going to have in our own personal lives. How do they impact our lives? We're going to see that this morning. Verses 1 through 3 of Judges chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Chapter 14 of verses 1 through 3, we find the first problem with a decision that Samson's made. You see, number one, Samson decided to defy his authority. Samson decided to defy his authority. Now, immediately when we read this verse, some of us think, Samson's an adult now. He's ready to marry. His parents aren't his authority. But it's not so much his parents as what God's law has stated. Because if you look at Exodus chapters 34 and Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's clearly laid out in Scripture that an Israelite is not to marry someone of a pagan nation. It's laid out. You see, that's the authority that Samson truly defies. Not so much his parents, he's a grown man, but he defied the authority that he knew was laid out in the Scripture that he was taught ever since he was a little boy. He defied his authority. But when Samson defied his authority, it involved two things. And it involves two things for you and I this morning. You see, we each make a decision whether or not we want to defy the authority that God has placed over us. Whether it's your pastor, whether it's God's law, children, whether it's your parents. Teenagers, whether it's your parents. Whatever it may be, we each decide to defy authority. And how does it begin? Number one, Samson made the decision of disobedience. He made the decision of disobedience. You see, by defying his authority, he was disobeying what God's Word said. Because you look at that phrase, get her for me, in verse 2 and verse 3. If you study the tense that that's in, it's what we call the imperative tense. We have it in English. It's a command. He's telling his parents, I don't care what God's law says. I don't care what you say. Get her for me because she pleases me well. In other words, get her for me because that is what I want. And as we look today through the story of Samson, we're going to see that time after time after time, his decisions are driven by his selfishness. What do I want to do? What does my flesh want to do? He lets his selfishness dictate his decisions. And how many of us do that this morning in our lives? Oh, we may not go so far as Samson did in our lives, but we're also going to find that many times decisions that lead to downfall are very subtle. This doesn't all happen most of the time. I'm going to make a decision to do this. Bam, my life is wrecked. It doesn't happen a lot of times like that. It's little decisions. A little decision here to defy my authority. A little decision here that goes against what I know is right. A little decision here that goes against what I know, my conscience says, is right. And many times it's the little decisions, time after time after time, that lead to great downfall. Because Samson made a decision to disobey. The second thing he did was he made a decision of dishonor. Because think about it. Samson is wanting to marry someone who is from the very people that have them captive. That brought dishonor not only to Samson, but also his family, to the children of Israel. Samson was someone who was known that had the hand of the Lord upon him, and he decided to get to, besides all of that, to disobey and to dishonor. You know, you look at throughout the Scriptures, and the Philistines are really a picture of the world. That's what they picture. So here Samson, in other words, is wanting to go the world's way and not God's way. Some of us decide in our lives, you know what, it's no big deal to not have standards in my home. It's no big deal to allow this or my child to do this or that. No big deal. Hey, I did it. No big deal. But what you must realize is the little decisions that you allow your family, your children to make, if they're not according to God's law and what's in this book, you're taking a risk. We're taking a risk with our personal lives. And if Satan wants us to think that our decisions, no matter how small they are, don't impact our lives. But then you have a person at the end of his life that has this tragic happening happen to him, that now he's just wrecked his life. And you know what they always say? How did I ever get here? How did I ever get here? How did this happen to me? You know how it happened? One decision at a time. You know, I like to illustrate it this way. Here we have Samson defying his authority. He says, "Get her for me," to his parents. And initially, he's really saying it to God. "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." Now, is Jeremy Hilfiger, why don't you come up? I like having young guys help me out. So, Jeremy, why don't you come up here this morning? Now, the first decision that Samson makes is to defy his authority. Now, Jeremy, I'm sure that your father, who is, you know, for those of you who don't know, Rick Hilfiger, has set up rules in your house, has he not, Jeremy?
Yes.
Now, what? Boy, he said that quite emphatically. Now, Jeremy, what would happen, okay, you don't have to reel everything, but what would happen if you went against one of those rules?
I might be grounded.
Grounded, okay, I thought you said drowned. You might be grounded. Okay, that is the consequence. Now, let's say you want to do something that goes against one of the rules that your father has set up. Would you ever say, let's say you wanted something that he said, no, you can't have it. Would you ever say, get it for me, for it pleases me well?
No.
No, why? Now, why would you not say that, Jeremy? Okay, so in other words, you knew you would get in trouble. I know with me, if I would have said that, okay, I'd be getting something, but it wouldn't be the thing that I wanted. Okay, so thank you very much, Jeremy. There's an answer that every single child has. No child's going to say to his father or to his mother when he's a child, get it for me, because I want it. It doesn't matter what you say. They're not going to say that because they know the consequences that would happen because of that decision to defy their authority. So what happens to a boy such as Jeremy, who's around 12 years old, to the time of a man who's around 25, 26 year old? What happens there? Somehow we lose something to the respect and to the fear that Jeremy has for his father determines whether or not he's going to defy that authority. But what do? You know, a lot of times we define the fear of the Lord as respect. And that is a good definition, but there's a little bit of fear in that as well. We should have a respect of the Lord, but we also should have a fear of, if I do this, what would be the consequences that God would place in my life for doing so? We so many times emphasize the respect, but we don't emphasize the judgment that God brings into our lives for bad decisions. That's what dictated Jeremy's response. He didn't want to be grounded. He didn't want to suffer the consequences if he defied his authority. So what's the difference between a 12-year-old and someone who's 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years old? There's not. But somehow we get confident in ourselves to think, I know better than what my father knows. Your heavenly father. A decision that impacts one's life. But you know what's interesting is you look at verse 4. And as I was studying this passage of Scripture, we always hear about the bad decisions that Samson makes. But in verse 4, there's a little bit of hope. Because look what it says in verse 4. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. I read that and I think, my goodness, what is that saying? You know what that's saying? That God, in the midst of our bad decisions, can cause those to still accomplish His purpose. That God is a sovereign God that's not dictated by the decisions that we make. In other words, I make a bad decision. I think it's over. You know what God says? It's not over because I'm a sovereign God and I will take that bad decision that you make and accomplish it to my purpose if you react to the decision that you made the right way and identify it as sin. You see, that's the key because if you look at verses 10 through 20, we don't have time this morning, you see that as Samson goes to marry this woman from Timnath, he at the wedding tells these groomsmen a riddle. And they don't know what the answer to the riddle is. So you know what they do? They go to Samson's wife. And they ask her what the meaning of the riddle is. Samson, or go to Samson's wife and say, hey, get Samson to tell you the meaning of the riddle. So what does Samson's wife do? She puts on the tears. She says, Samson, if you love me, tell me what the meaning of the riddle is. He falls and says, okay, I'll tell you what the meaning of the riddle is. Tells the groomsmen. The groomsmen come back, tell Samson what the meaning of the riddle is. Samson's upset of his wife. Samson's upset at the men. He goes down to Ashkelon, kills 30 men, gets all their stuff, comes back to pay the bet for the riddle. And as he comes back from Ashkelon, he finds that his wife that he married was given to another Philistine. And there begins the war between Samson and the Philistines. You know, there was consequences to Samson's decision to defy authority. What were those consequences? He was tricked. His wife was taken from him, given to another man. But you know, also, God used that to cause Samson to begin the battle between the Philistines. And let me tell you something, friend. God will take the decisions that you make and you identify them as sin, repent. He will accomplish it to His purpose. It's not over. Because we see that in Samson's life, it wasn't over at this point. Oh, did Samson do wrong? Absolutely. Did he go against God's Word? Absolutely. Were there consequences for that? Absolutely. But see, God in His mercy will take our mistakes and use it to accomplish His purpose. Our part is to confess and learn from the mistakes that we make. Jeremiah 18 is a perfect illustration of that. Jeremiah goes to the potter's house, and what does it say? The potter had a vessel in his hand that was marred, and what did he do? He made it again, a new vessel. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ will do with you. It's not over if you make a bad decision. It's not over if you look at your life and say, the decisions that I've made have wrecked my life. It's not over. But it's up to you on how you react to the decisions that you make. Number one, Samson defied his authority. Number two, Samson disregarded his commitment. You look at verse 9. It says, and he took therefore in his hand and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told them that he had taken the honey out of, but he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Here's what Samson did. They're walking down the road. Samson sees a carcass laying on the ground. It's dried up. He sees bees have made a honeycomb in there. There's honey in there. He takes the honey. His parents don't know where he's taking it from. He gives them the honey. He eats the honey. What's the big deal about that? The big deal about that is he disregarded his commitment. Because before Samson was even born, he was told, his mother was told, that he would make a Nazirite vow. And we'll get into what was involved in the Nazirite vow. But here you have a decision that Samson has made to defy his authority. Does he learn from it? Absolutely not. So what does he do? He makes another poor decision. A decision that we really think is insignificant. I mean, come on, Johnny. He just took a little bit of honey out of a carcass of a lion. So what? He didn't strictly go by his Nazirite vow. He strictly didn't go by his commitment. Big deal. But if you look at what verse 9 says, he says he came to his father and his mother and he gave them and they did eat, and he told them that he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now why didn't he tell them that? Because if you ever follow Israelite law, you find out that the law of Israel was, you touch an unclean thing, you're unclean. He didn't tell his father and his mother because he knew his father and his mother wouldn't have partaken of that honey if they knew it was from a carcass. And here's what we better realize this morning. That the decisions that you and I make just don't affect us. They affect the people around us. Fathers, you make decisions on how to lead your home the right way. And let me tell you, those decisions will affect your kids, those decisions will affect your wife, and those decisions will affect how that child raises his family or her family. Our decisions don't affect just us. Our decisions, husband, affect our wives. Our decisions, wives, affect our husbands. Our decisions, pastor, affects the church. Our decisions just don't affect us. But many times Satan wants us to believe that our decisions just simply affect me. So what? Okay, I'll make a bad decision. I'll make a decision that doesn't have the best insight and direction. Big deal, it's just affecting me. No, it's not. It's affecting everyone around you that you touch and that you influence. Samson's little decision to take that honey out of a dead carcass just didn't affect him. It affected his family. Because now his family were unclean. Now his family, if they ever were going to the temple, had to make a sacrifice to make themselves clean once again. And how did Samson disregard his commitment? By two things. He disregarded God's law. Leviticus 5, 2 and 3 talks about the law of not touching an unclean thing. Number two, he disregarded his Nazirite vow. So what's involved in the Nazirite vow? Well, if you ever want to look at it, number 6, 1 through 8 talks about a Nazirite vow and what's involved in them. But just let me read you the requirements. Number one, he can't drink any type of drink that comes from the vine. He can't eat anything that comes from the vine. He can't cut his hair. And also, he can't touch any carcass or a dead body. Those are the guidelines for a Nazirite vow. Someone would make that. And that was a vow unto the Lord to separate themselves. And that is the vow that they made. Can't drink anything from the vine. Can't eat anything from the vine. Cannot cut your hair. And you can't touch a dead body or a dead carcass. Those were his vows that he made unto the Lord. And what I like to think, and what I was going through this passage of Scripture, I thought to myself, you know, the choices that we make show who we're committed to. It's not what you say, it's what you do. You want to know what someone's committed to, you look at the decisions that they make. You want to know what a father or a mother are committed to, you look at the decisions that they make for their family. You want to see what a man or a woman is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, you look at the decisions that they make. Because it is the decisions that we make that show truly who we are committed to. Not what we say, but the decisions that we make. You think about that before you make a decision. Because you look at the decisions that you've made this last week. And they'll show who you were committed to this last week. I look at the decisions that I made this last week. They'll show who I was committed to this last week. And Samson's decision showed that he was committed to one person and one person only. And that was himself. But number three, Samson not only defied his authority. Not only did he disregard his commitment, but number three, Samson denied God's warning. He denied God's warning. Go to chapter 15, verse 18. Here's what amazes me as we read this passage of Scripture. Verse 18, Samson's just gotten done with a battle. He's killed scores of Philistines simply with a jawbone of a donkey. And God's just gotten him through this battle. No person humanly possible could have done what Samson just did. But Samson did it because the Lord helped him to do it. He gave him the strength. And look at the reaction that Samson has after this battle in verse 18. It says, "And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" Verse 19, "But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi, unto this day." So here Samson has his jawbone of a donkey. He's been killing Philistines right and left with his jawbone. He asked the Lord, "Lord, I'm thirsty. After defeating all these people, are you going to allow me to die?" All of a sudden, this jawbone turns into a water bottle. Water starts coming out. He drinks. He's revived. He's ready to go again. Now look at what verse 1 of chapter 16. God's just delivered him out of the hand of the Philistines. God's just provided him miraculously with water in a place where no water was found. And look at what Samson does in verse 1. "Then went Samson to Gaza, and there he saw a harlot, and he went in unto her." It's a very descriptive word in the Hebrew. It simply means that he had immorality with that woman. And you think to yourself, wait a minute. Samson just got done defeating the Philistines. He just got done, been given a miracle with water where there was no water found. And right after that, he goes into Gaza and finds a harlot and has sex with her. What's going on, Samson? How does Samson do this? How can Samson be so blind and allowing God to bless him and then he turns right around and goes the opposite way? I'll tell you why. It's what we said before, a decision. And we're starting to see now the decisions that have led up to this point. Samson just doesn't say all of a sudden, "You know what? I'm going to go find a harlot in the land of the Philistines and I'm going to have immorality with her and that's what I'm going to do." No. It started with him defying his authority. Starting with him not listening and heeding to what God's Word said. Then it led to him disregarding his commitment to God. "I've made a commitment before God to do this, but I'm going to decide not to follow through with it." How many of us have sat in these pews after a message, after a person has come to speak, and made a decision to do something in our lives and not follow through? Why, do you say? Because we've made a decision in some point to disregard that commitment that we've made to God. You know, if you look in the Old Testament, when someone made a vow to God, it was something that was taken very seriously. It was something that when you made a vow to God, you better not break it, or there's consequences to that. But today, we make so many commitments to God. We say, "You know what, God, I'm going to decide to do this. I'm going to decide to do that." I've talked with my college students in the back. You know why we don't change? Because we think that when we make a decision, that somehow we're already changed and it's supposed to happen like that, and we don't understand that it takes work to change. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes work to follow through with the decision. It took work for Samson to be true to his commitment. But Samson wasn't concerned about that. He was simply concerned to please himself. And basically what it boils down to, when we break a commitment to go God's way, it boils down to what I want to do. It boils down to our families, whether or not we want to keep on keeping that home going for God. What do I want to do? You know, it's funny. Lori and I try to have devotions together every night. You know, it's so funny. You think it would be easy, but it's not. And many times that commitment has been broken because one thing or another thing comes into advance. You know what it mostly boils down to? "I'm too tired," or "I'm too busy." And what do those phrases include? I've made a decision to please me and not to please God. And that's what it boils down to when we break our commitments to God. And then we disregard God's warnings because we find that Samson, how does he make this decision? How was Samson so blind in his Christian life? I'll tell you why. Because Samson was in denial. Because he thought his poor decisions had absolutely no consequences. Because up to this point, has he seen the consequences for his sin? No. Battle after battle after battle after battle, Samson is given victory. Samson is on cloud nine. He's the mighty man. Everybody in Israel knows who he is. I mean, he's a top dog. He's faced no consequences for the decisions he's made, and he's in denial because he thinks, no big deal. I've made all these decisions. I've pleased me. God still has his hand on me. No problem. Isn't that how you and I think a lot of times? We get caught into this trap in thinking that when we make a bad decision, that somehow God's going to send lightning from heaven, and right then and there, we're going to be judged for it. But that's not often the way it works. Because God, in His mercy and in His grace, allows us to come to Him, gives us an opportunity to repent of our sin on our terms before He has to do it on His terms. And that's what he does with Samson. But not only was he in denial because of the poor, he thought his poor decisions had no consequences, Samson was in denial to think that God was going to bless him even though he was making poor decisions. He thought, God's going to bless me. Doesn't matter what my standards are. Doesn't matter that I defy your authority. Doesn't matter that I disregard my Nazarite vow, my commitment. Doesn't matter what I do. God, you're still going to bless me. I got this strength. And I think Samson started thinking that it was his strength instead of the Lord giving him strength. And many times that's what we get caught in. God's blessing my family. God's blessing my ministry. God's blessing my workplace. Must be that my decisions don't really matter. But what God is doing with you is He's giving you a warning. He's allowing you to choose, are you going to repent? Or am I going to have to bring something in your life that brings you to your knees to repent? Because in this passage of Scripture, we find God's mercy and God's grace. Time and time again. You know why Samson was in denial to think that God would continue to bless him in spite of his decisions? It boils down to a certain sin that's found in Psalm 19. Let's turn to it. Psalm 19, verse 13, talks about the type of sin that was rampant in Samson's life. It's a sin that is described as a great transgression, a sin that is severe if it is in our life. And it's found in verse 13. The psalmist says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous or arrogant sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Here's simply what presumptuous sin says. That, you know what, I know God's grace, and I know He'll forgive me for any sin that I do, so I'm just going to go ahead and do this sin that I know God doesn't want me to do, and then I'll ask forgiveness for it later. How many of us have done that? I know I have. That, you know what, I know God doesn't want me to do this. I know God doesn't want me to make this decision in my life. I know it's wrong, but guess what? I want to do it. So I'm going to do it and then ask forgiveness after it's done. And I know God's going to forgive me. That's presumptuous sin. That's arrogant sin. In other words, you're saying, God, I'm making light of your grace and your forgiveness because I'm playing games with you. God, I'm going to do this sin, but guess what? I know what your word says. You have to forgive me if I ask forgiveness of my sin. But guess what, folks? He's not going to forgive you with that attitude. Because that attitude is not truly asking forgiveness. It's playing games with God. You know what I thought was interesting as I studied presumptuous sin? In Numbers 15, verses 30 and 31, if an Israelite made presumptuous sin, there was no sacrifice that he could make for that sin. There was no substitutionary offering that he could make for presumptuous sin. You know why? Because he was doing that sin, and acting as though he was repenting when really he wasn't. And God didn't make an offering to cover that sin. Because when you have that attitude and you ask forgiveness for God when you know you're going to go out and do it again, and you're presuming upon God's grace, that's not forgiveness. God's not going to forgive that attitude because it's not an attitude of remorse. It's not an attitude that we find in Psalm 51 where, God, I'm truly sorry for this sin. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you have a sin that you struggle with, you're truly sorry, but then you fall into again that God's not going to forgive you. That's not presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin is saying, God, I know what your word says, and I know that I'll ask forgiveness after this is done. No big deal. I'm not going to have any consequences of it. That's presumptuous sin. That's why David says, God, keep me from that sin. Because it's when we're in that sin that we've shown that our relationship with God is in serious jeopardy. Serious jeopardy. That we can live however way we want. And you know what? I got my ticket to heaven and it doesn't matter what I do. That is presumptuous sin, and that is where we find Samson in this story. That I can live any way I want, and God's still going to bless me. That I can do any sin, and it's not going to matter. That I can do anything I want, and the consequences of my decisions aren't going to matter anything. Are we like that this morning? Are we making the right decisions with our relationship with our spouse? Teenagers, are we making the right decisions in our lives? Because it's the decisions that you make right now that will make the course of your life. College students, are we making decisions right now that will affect where we are in our lives? Seniors, are we making decisions that will impact our grandchildren's lives? That the lives that we will leave behind us? Are we making the right decisions? Are we caught in the trap of presumptuous sin, the thinking that our decisions don't matter? Because that's where Samson's at in his point. Samson was full of presumptuous sin because he was taking for granted the grace and mercy of his Lord. The grace and mercy of the Lord is a wonderful and beautiful thing. But it's when we abuse it that it becomes presumptuous sin. And lastly, the last decision that Samson made was Samson decided to destroy his life. Verse 19 of chapter 16. It says in verse 19 of chapter 16, "And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." How did Samson get on Delilah's lap? How did Samson in the world tell Delilah his one secret, the secret to his strength? How did Samson allow... First of all, how did Samson not wake up when here she's shaving his head? I mean, they didn't have electric... Because I know God's not going to do anything to me. He could be thinking that his decisions made no difference whatsoever. That's how Samson... Once again, Samson is wanting to please himself with a Philistine woman. He's with Delilah. Delilah's there, the secret is. You take 7 fresh bowstrings, or green whips, the Bible says, wrap me in the brand new rope. Samson breaks the ropes. Big game. And he starts to see the progression. He goes from the... By every decision that he makes, he's getting closer and closer to destruction. Because to his strength, no strength. People want to say that the reason why Samson lost his strength was because his head was taken his strength in a number of ways. God could have taken his strength by him wanting to be with a Philistine woman. But God didn't choose so. Why, Samson? Now I'm going to bring you to your knees. It wasn't that his hair was some mystical hair that if you cut it, he would lose. Now I'm going to give you the fruit that you have sown. That's where we suffer the consequences for that we make. And it works both ways. We get good consequences from the decisions that we make, or we get bad consequences. And before honor is humility. What brought Samson destruction? It was his pride, himself. Decisions as sin. 20, verse 21. "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes." By the way, his eyes were the problem. Where sin did, it was too late. And there's 3 things that sin does in our lives. Number one, it blinds. It binds us to do. It binds us from living the potential that each one of us has for God. It binds us, and then because there's regret, and that's where Samson is at. He's grinding meal around a wheel, blind. In verses 28 through 30, I want to read these. It says, "And Samson called unto the Lord a great stone to grind grain, and they all want to see him and make fun of him. And here's what Samson, the strengthened. And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." He realized at the end of his life, he could not satisfy himself by the decisions that he made. And let me tell you, friend, if you're living for yourself, it'll never satisfy. Out when you're in a tragedy, that you can't give yourself strength. God's the only one that gives you strength. You can't himself. By the decisions that he makes for himself. And finally, Samson realized the decision that, look, I've seen the decisions that I've made in my home, with my wife, with my husband. One's philosophy of life is not best expressed in words, but the decisions that of life, one that says, I'm going to honor and please the Lord. Or is your philosophy of life, I'm going to please myself? And we don't like to think that what decisions have. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and piano being playing page number 546 in our hymn books. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know, I know this is a sermon that a lot of us don't like to hear. We like to hear sermons that encourage us, that make us feel good, but sometimes we need to hear sermons that convict. that show us where we're at right now. And maybe the decisions that we've made up to this point, maybe we need to make a decision to change the directions that our decisions in the past have taken us. Because none of us want to find ourselves where Samson found himself. At the end of his life, realizing that he's wasted the potential that God had blessed him with at the beginning of his life because he wanted to please himself. Maybe we need some fathers to make decisions this morning to turn the direction of their home in the right way. Maybe we need some husbands to make decisions that they need to love their wives the right way. Maybe some wives need to decide, you know what, I need to back up my husband and be the wife I need to be for him today. Maybe some teenagers need to decide, you know what, I need to start making some decisions for the Lord in my life and not worry about what my friends think. College students need to decide, you know what, I don't need to worry about what everybody else thinks. I need to live for God.